Well, greetings, brothers and sisters. It's a blessing to be here with you all. I've been in this building several times, but it's always been for meetings and things, and so it's nice to be here just with you all here. And yeah, Belle was blessed with the prayer time, just the spirit, the atmosphere here. I just want to bless you as a congregation for the desire I sense after the Lord. It's been encouraging to be here, and it's refreshing to see a group of people just in your own environment seeking the Lord. The songs that were selected, and yeah, I'm blessed with what I sense here. May the Lord continue to richly bless you all as you continue to seek Him. I was blessed with what the brother shared in the opening. I think sometimes about Daniel, you know, and his blameless life. And I've sometimes put myself in his shoes and asked myself the question, if people scrutinized my life in that way and sought to find occasion against me, would my report be as good as his was? And the only place they could find occasion against him was in his Christianity and his service toward his God. And that's a blameless life. And it mentions in the New Testament about being blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Can we kneel for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we're gathered here together in your name, Lord, and to hear from you. And Lord, I'm blessed to be here and with these brothers and sisters, and we just pray your blessing upon them. And Lord, as their plates are full and they have a lot going and a busy schedule and much serving, I just pray that you would enable them to continue to prosper in their walk with you. And I sense that they are. And Lord, we just pray that you would, where there may be areas of overwhelmness or a lot going on, we just pray that you would make up those things and pray that they that water would be watered themselves. We just pray that you would bless us as we look into your word. Bless me as I share. Pray that my thoughts would come clearly and you would bring things to my mind and that you enable your people to be blessed. Lord, I think of the brothers and sisters back home as well as they're gathered together also this morning. We just pray that you would bless them and cause them to prosper and to be cared for today and fed. And oh Lord, we love you. We're privileged to be your children. And we ask these things humbly in your name. I pray that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I often write the title on the board at home if I share, and I'll just go ahead and do that. That way you can kind of stay in track. Rivers of living water. I don't know, maybe you all here are different than I am or we are, but I know for myself, when I have a lot going, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. And I think about you all here and the meeting coming up here and the other things that you also host. And I just, yeah, maybe you are different than us. And maybe the people in Indiana have a lot more resilience? But I think we're probably all human. And I think we all at times feel overwhelmed. And we feel like we've poured out, and there's not a lot left there. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 7. So my heart this morning is just to bring a message of encouragement to you all. John chapter 7, verse 37. John 7, 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So it's not a physical river that flows out of us, but it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing in our inner man, when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. And when we drink of Christ, there is an inner source from the Spirit of God that flows in our life. Turn yet to John chapter 4, the story of the woman at the well. He says a similar thing here. John chapter 4, verse 13. John 4, verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And I've read this passage and other passages different times in my Christian life, and I've looked inside of me, and I said, you know, this doesn't seem true to me. You know, I feel thirsty. You know, have you ever felt that way? You know, he says he'll never thirst, and I wonder what, you know, is something wrong with me? Why do I feel thirsty? And we'll get a little more into that here shortly. Recently, it was maybe about a month and a half ago or so, around Christmas time, Brother Mark, the elder, one of the elders there in our congregation at home, he asked me to share a message. It was going to be on Christmas Day. It was in a week and a half away, I think. And up until that time, I had just been feeling kind of drained, kind of just, you know, not really encouraged myself. When you don't feel encouraged yourself, how can, you know, it's hard to pump up something encouraging. And that, you know, a message, I told him yes, I would do it. But as I went home, and that was the last thing I felt like doing. I mean, I just did not feel at all. I think it was some spiritual things going on as well. And so that night, or one evening, I shared with my wife, and I just, how I felt, and I just felt very low, very spiritually weary of responsibility. And we talked for a while, and she tried to encourage me with one thing and didn't work, and tried to encourage me with something else and didn't work. And the third time she hit home, thank the Lord, and she said, I just feel like the devil is trying to discourage you and keep you from sharing the word. And I began to think, and maybe that is the case. And I began to think a little more, and I thought of something that, thank you, brother, thought of something that blessed me that morning, my Bible reading. And I thought, well, maybe that's something to share. And I began to share with her. I just felt the courage begin to rise in my soul again. It began to change there, and I felt like the Lord helped then, and that feeling left, and it's been going as a whole since then. So I'm very thankful to the Lord using my wife there to raise me up. And so that's sometimes how ministry can be. That's how, you know, labor in the Lord's vineyard can be draining at times. And I want to encourage you as a congregation here that the meetings you host, and it's a blessing to many churches. Many lives are touched, and especially it being to men, to ministers. The minister's retreat, those things, you know, has a lot of potential to impact a lot of churches and a lot of families. And I want to encourage you with that. So why is it here in John 4, Jesus says, Whosoever drinketh of this water, the well that he was sitting beside, shall thirst again. But he says, Whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Why is it, brothers and sisters, why is it at times we feel thirsty, we feel empty, we feel drained? And I don't know all the reasons to that. I believe the Word of God is true. And I think perhaps one key to it is here in verse 14. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him. And I don't believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that drinketh is a one-time drink. I don't think it's a thing that we drink just at our salvation experience and then we're never thirsty the rest of our life. I think sometimes perhaps the reason that I get thirsty, that I get drained, is because I've not been drinking at that well. that makes sense. So I believe this word, this promise is true, but maybe the fault is with us and not with the water, not with the Lord, not with the Word of God. Perhaps we've neglected to drink at that fountain of living water, at that river of living water, and therefore we feel thirsty. And the problem is we need to go back to that fountain and drink. So God is able to give us what we need in life. Another little story that just happened the other day is we had a number of late nights, and our children were a little fussy that one night. And I was hoping to get to bed early and get a good rest. We had a day's work ahead, and I was just that was my fault. I went to bed. I want to sleep. I want to lay down. I want to get a good rest. And what do you know? I just kind of sensed my spirit was wrong, and I was having selfish feelings, and I hear my little boy calling for me in another room, and my wife went the first time, and bless her heart, I should have went myself, but she came back, and then a little while later, here he's crying again, and then I get up, and I think I went, ended up going two times myself, and finally, it's getting late, but I felt like that. I surrendered to it. And I just had a better attitude. I was thankful. I felt the Lord was trying to teach me some lessons there. So, got to sleep then. I think it was about 11 o'clock or something, which maybe not too bad. But the next morning, I still felt tired because it was, I'd been some late nights before. And I just got up that morning. I was just discouraged. It's going to be a big day's work. I feel tired already. And I wish I could have got more sleep. But the little plaque on our bedroom wall caught my eye. It said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." I just felt like that was a word to the Lord from me. I grabbed it, I believed it, I claimed it for myself, and I just looked to the Lord for strength. I went through that whole day, all the day at work, I felt fine. I felt as good as normal. But when I came back home in the evening, I could feel kind of draining out of me then again. But I just felt like God's promise was true. His grace was sufficient. And I was very thankful for that. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 17. What God calls us to, He is able to provide the grace for. He's able to provide living water for us so that we need never thirst. We have sufficiency for what He calls us to. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. Some verses that stood out to me years ago and that I've thought about different times since. An amazing contrast here of the man who trusts in the Lord in comparison to the man who does not trust in the Lord. Follow along here. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he should be like a heath." A heath is like a shrub, a little plant, "in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. This man that trusts in man will not see when good cometh. But he shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited, because he does not trust in God." Verse 7. "But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh." Quite a comparison there. "But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." What a contrast. What a picture comparing the man that whose heart departs from the Lord. He trusts in something other than God, in comparison to the man who trusts in God and whose hope is in the Lord. It likens it to a tree planted by the rivers of water. When a tree is planted by a river of water, here, just picture it. Here's this river flowing down through there. We Paul has a river running by his place down there. And a tree that's planted by that river of water has a lot of moisture to draw from, you know. And it says that this tree doesn't have to worry when there's drought. You know, picture a dry time or a desert, and there's a river flows down through it. This tree is right next to the river. You can see it on maps, you know, like in Niger, where my brother Abner was. There, it's very dry and deserty there, but there's the Niger River flows down through there, and it's green along that river. But on out, it's dry. So here's this tree. It's planted there by the river. And his comrade trees, if you will, that are out there and the, you know, on out in the desert, they're suffering as a drought wears on. Their leaves wither, and they don't yield much, if any, fruit. But this tree that's by the source of water, it can sink its roots in there, no matter how long it is between rains. It has another source besides the rain that it draws from. It's a picture of us as Christians. How it ought to be. Do your roots go down deep into the river of water of life? Are you drawing up that living water to refresh your thirsty soul? If you feel like you're running out and your leaves are drying out and beginning to wither, sink your roots deeper into the river of living water. Whatever you're facing, God has more than enough to meet that need. You know, we can be, you know, the world looking on can wonder where our source is from. You know, maybe as the drought wears on strongly and their leaves begin to wither, their fruit never produces, but we have a source that's different from their source. And we can continue to flourish and prosper regardless of what is going around in our environment. Amen? May God make that real to us. May He make it real to my life. May there be an inner strength that's not based, that's not dependent on my circumstances. There's a little song that I like. I won't sing it. I'll just read it here. It's just one simple little verse. It's called More Than Enough. And this song has blessed me different times. It says, He, meaning Jesus, He was more than enough to turn water into wine, more than enough to give sight to the blind, more than enough when He died on the cross. Jesus is more than enough. If we have Jesus, if our roots are going into Him, we have sufficiency. And just like this tree, it's the same way for us. You know, do you sometimes feel like you're out there in the desert and you don't have any source of nourishment? We might feel that way at times, but it's not true. You know, it's like that God has planted each one of us beside a river. We have our own river, or we're all planted along the river. None of us are out there abandoned in the elements, in the heat. We all are planted. We all have our own personal river to draw from. We're not out there left to try to survive. You know, a tree that's planted like that, it doesn't have to create the water. We don't have to create the water. We don't have to try to pump it up. The water is just there. What we have to do is sink our roots down into that water. Amen? And as the drought wears on harder, as the pressure comes on harder, as there's more pouring out and we feel empty, we need to sink our roots down even deeper into the water. It's a heritage to the people of God. God provides each of us with a personal source. None of us are out there abandoned. You know, but what if a tree has a root problem? You know, I said we're all planted next to that river, but does that mean that all people prosper? No. We can have the best conditions. A plant, you know, a little plant that you plant in your garden or in your field may be in the best of soil, may have the best of irrigation, may have the best of everything, but if that plant has a genetic problem, or it has a root problem, or it's been marred in some way that hinders its root structure, it can have the best of conditions, but still not prosper. And the same way with us. If as the drought wears on, the tree will naturally sink its roots deeper. And there's something about plants that they naturally grow towards the water source, I believe. Is that right? You know, there's something they can kind of sense, it seems like, where the water is. But if a tree directs its roots elsewhere, if it looks to something else for nourishment, that water source won't help it. In the same way for us, we can have the best conditions. You can be in the best church and hear the best preaching. And the river can be the best, but if you turn your heart to other things, if you send your roots, if you feed on the things of the world, if your heart departs from the Lord, as we read there, and is not hoping in the Lord, if you're not drinking from that water, you won't prosper. Your leaves will begin to wither, and you will not bear fruit. So there's a condition on us. So what do we draw from? Where do we go to when the drought comes on? What do we run to for our nourishment, for our refreshment? What do we feed on? A lot of what comes out depends on what we feed on. A lot of how we prosper depends on what we drink from. What fountain do you drink from? Where do you run when you feel weary and thirsty? You know, I do want to say here that while God is more than enough, while the river is there, while there's no shortage on God's part, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, and we have physical limitations. And it's, at times, we just need to take some time off, as Christ did for refreshment. And we live in human bodies, and we do grow weary. And Christ told His disciples to come apart and rest a while. So we need to know ourselves. We need to know what's enough and what's too much. I'll read a passage in Isaiah 4. You don't have to turn there. But it's a blessed passage. Isaiah 43. I'm sorry. A beautiful promise. I love the book of Isaiah, especially the last from 40 on. Very many beautiful promises there. Some scriptures that I clung to in my early Christian life as I was struggling to get on my feet. Promises I claimed for my own and desperately clung to as I was learning how to have faith in the Lord. Isaiah 43 verse 19 says, "Behold," God says, "I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God is able to make a river in the desert. In your desert, in your driest time of your life, He's able to cause refreshment to flow into your life. Praise the Lord. "The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen." You know, God cares for you, each one of you. God cares and knows what you're going through, and He is able to give you water in your wilderness, refreshment to your soul, restoration to your soul. I love that in Psalm 23 there, "He restoreth my soul." At times, I feel like I need that. I say, I go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I need restoration to my soul." And God is able to give that, and He does give it. He's very faithful. He's a loving, caring God. He's our Father. We have a rock, just like Israel did in the wilderness. And that rock is Christ. And He still cries, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." So come unto Him and drink. You don't need to continue on weary and thirsty. He has all sufficiency. Turning your Bibles to Genesis 21, a beautiful passage there that has blessed me. It's maybe a little different passage in light of this, but it's been a blessing to me in light of this subject. The story of Hagar in Genesis 21. Genesis 21, we'll start reading in verse 14. This is after the birth of Isaac. Abraham had his first child with Hagar, and that child's name was Ishmael. And then later, the child of promise, Isaac, was born. So these two boys are grown up together. One is older than the other. Ishmael is older. And there's problems that begin to happen between the son of promise and Ishmael. And Sarah comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, tell Hagar and her son to leave, because they're her son is mocking Isaac. He was mocking. And this thing is very grievous to Abraham. You know, it is his son. Even though it was not the son of promise, it's still his child. And he cared for his child, and he hated to just throw his child out. But God comes to Abraham, and God says, you know, do what Sarah says. Cast him out. This son of promise is the one that I have the blessing on, and Ishmael is not to inherit with Isaac in that. So Abraham obeys. So reading here in verse 14, Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. What a sad picture. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. I don't know how big that bottle of water was. I don't know if it was a 1 gallon jug or if it was larger than that. Verse 15, and the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. Very sad picture. You know, left him there to die. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she set over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. What a sad picture. You know, a lady cast out, nowhere to go. And her water ran out. And she lifted up her voice and wept. Verse 17, God heard. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not. God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make of him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water, and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and dwelt in the wilderness, and became an archer. So a little story there out of the Old Testament of Hagar and Ishmael, and God's care for them. And what stands out to me in this story is that we can often be a lot like Hagar. And instead of, as we saw earlier, going to that fountain of water, the well of water, the river of water, whatever you want to call it, that source that God has provided for His people, we can sometimes go to our bottle, whatever that might be. You know, whatever that bottle might be to you, you know, it can be to a friend, and friends aren't wrong. Instead of the fountain, you know, you follow what I'm saying? It can be to some other thing, and if it's anything other than God, it'll let you down sometimes. That bottle will run out. You know, I don't know what your temptations are. It could be to music. It could be to food. It could be to whatever pulls your heart, you know, I don't know if technology pulls any of your hearts. just some things I thought about. There could be many other things. There could be other things that we run to when we feel needy inside. And that can be like that bottle that works for a time. You know, we're out there, it seems to be working. You know, I'm not thirsty. It's meeting the need. But then after some time, that bottle runs out, and we're out there, and we're at our wits' end. We're at the end. We don't know where else to go, and But do we need to be that way? Did Hagar need to be that way? Did it have to be that way? When she was at her worst depth of discouragement, she was right beside a great source. And the same is true to us. God has that well of water right there beside us. And we don't need to be at the end of our rope. We can drink deeply. We can be refreshed. Let's turn from that bottle. Let's leave that bottle and go to the source, to the true source, and drink from what God intended for us to drink from. Let's turn from our bottles and begin to draw from the fountain of water of life that's right beside us. You know, and we need God, just like Hagar needed God. God had to open her eyes. She was blind to it. She didn't know it was there. And she needed God to open her eyes. And I believe at times God needs to open our eyes to what will really satisfy. That bottle will let you down. A verse that I've thought about many times. Turn to Jeremiah 2. This problem of going to other things is no new problem. It's been a problem with the people of God ever since God called His people. We are so prone. We see what the world goes after. We see the things that allure them. The things allure us. And we tend to leave that fountain. Jeremiah 2, verse 12. God is astonished at this. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this. Be ye horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. God is astonished, and we ought to be astonished. You just picture that. Here you are, and there's this fountain of bubbling, cool, pure, fresh, living water right there that God has provided for His people. And you leave that. You turn your back on that. And you chase some broken cistern. You go and you labor hewing out this thing. You spend lots of money on it. You whatever, you know. And it's vain. It's empty. It will not satisfy. And God just can't understand why His people would do that. Do we have that problem today? We do. We do have that problem. And that's why, brothers and sisters, that we sometimes feel thirsty, I believe. Our heart can tend to grow cold towards the Lord and tend to wonder. And we see the world around us, what they chase after, what they pursue, what seems to make them happy. But it's a broken cistern. It can hold no water. You put all that work into it, thinking it'll satisfy you, thinking that you'll be able to draw from this thing when the drought comes, and it's going to let you down. It'll be like Hagar's bottle. David knew where to go to. Amen. I'm so blessed with David. He knew where his source was from. He knew where to go to. He said, I'll read it here in Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Something that's beyond me. Something that's not in me. Something that's greater than me. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wing. So when our soul is thirsty, when we're weary, let's go to the fountain of living water. The river of living water. Hebrews 4, I'll read this as well. 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help. Grace to help in time of need. My wife and I have been reading through, we've been reading through as a family through Hebrews, and it just stood out to me different times about how we have a high priest. We have someone who understands, someone who actually walked on this earth also and was tempted and knows how to help us. It's a blessing. We can come knowing that Christ understands and He will give us mercy and grace to help in time of need. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for a wonderful high priest, someone we can go to for help. It's been a blessing many times in my life, not having a father, to have a father in God, someone I can go to that knows and understands and is able to help. Okay, turn your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 2. Sometime back in my Bible reading, I was blessed with this thought of it reminds me of you all, this thought. It reminds me of you all in that whenever the Lord did something, or whenever He does something, it seems like He does it in abundance. you're all a blessing. I was thinking this morning, and it reminded me of the Byrne brothers here and how that when you feed us or whatever you do, it's just in abundance. And I thought about that. Many things in the Word of God that God did, He did it in abundance. You know, think about when the quail came to the children of Israel in the wilderness. I mean, there was more than enough. I mean, it was just unbelievable the amount of quail that God sent to His people there. And I forget what the numbers were, but they were just in heaps, the Israelites gathered them together. The story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, the amazingness of how that they started out with 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, and they feed, I don't know, it could have been over 10,000 people. It's 5,000 people besides women and children. And, 10,000 people possibly. And they have more than what they began with. 12 baskets they gather up. Just the unbelievable abundance that God is able to provide to meet needs. And this story here, let's read this story here in John 2, verse 1. This first miracle that Jesus did here. On the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto them, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And He saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. We'll stop reading there. You know, I've read this story many times. I heard it from a child, and it's a very beautiful story. It's an amazing story. It's Jesus' first miracle. But recently, I was reading it in a different translation, and it rendered it in this firkins and gallons. And it caught my attention because I never really knew what a firkin was. But it says here that, let's see. I did a little study on it then. From what I understand, a firkin is about 9 gallons. So these were not just small pots. So it says here that these water pots held, there were 6 of them, and they held between 2 and 3 firkins apiece. And so if you take 2 or 3 times 9, that would mean that each water pot held between 18 and 27 gallons apiece. So each water pot, I don't know how big that would be, between 18 and 27. It'd be a fairly good good size, maybe like one of those milk jugs, maybe. I'm not sure how much one of those little milk jugs hold. But it would hold probably more than that, possibly. It'd be more than that. Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyway, so, and there were 6 of them there. It wasn't just one. It was 6 of them there. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these water pots there that they had. So you take 6 times, let's say 20, that you get 120. So it could have been even up as much as 160, depending how big these water pots were. So you have a lot of gallons there, a lot of wine that Jesus made. Just like that, he made, it could have been 150 gallons, about between 2 or 3 55-gallon drums is what you're looking at of wine there. That he made, and I don't know how far they were into this wedding, how much more time. But the man there, the governor said, "You've kept the good wine till now." He said, "Most people bring out the good wine early, but you've kept it till now." And I don't think they would have needed that much wine there, but just the abundance of how Jesus provided for the people there, and that's a picture of the grace of God, brothers and sisters. And so. We can look to Him. Whatever we're going through, God is able to make all grace abound towards us. And it was high quality wine. It was not just some cheap stuff. It was high quality. Jesus made high quality wine. Would have been worth a lot of money. God's arm is not short. I get the picture that God enjoys oversupplying our needs. Amen. God enjoys giving more than enough. So we can take courage. I love this passage here. I referred to it already. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, brothers and sisters." He's able to make all grace abound toward you, so that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound into every good work. And that's my prayer for you. May God make that true in your lives. That you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound and continue as you have been, abounding in every good work. Every good work. Yes. So may God richly reward you as you pour out yourselves for Him and His people. May you find the grace of God to be abundant in your lives. And may, if you feel a time of thirstiness, a time of dryness, a time of weary, like you've been pouring out, may you just picture that river of living water and you turn your roots towards that water and sink them down deeper into that river of water of life and find the refreshment you need to continue to minister to others as you have been doing. So, yeah, I want to bless you all. You've been a blessing, very much a blessing to us and our lives. And I desire that you would not be weary in well-doing, but continue to press on. And if you need a time of refreshment, to realize that we do have our limitations and we can overdo ourselves. And as Christ told His disciples, "Come ye apart and rest a while." We need those times, and it's not a time of the flesh, not a time of gratifying the flesh and going on a fling as the world does that makes you come back even more stressed out and weary than before, but a time of spiritual refreshment, a time of quietness, a time of reviving our spiritual man. Christ went out on the mountain. He wasn't, and he prayed to His Heavenly Father, and He found refreshment to continue to minister to the people around him. So, Lord bless you all.